This morning, I have a lesson. I wasn't sure what to call it. I'm calling it a time of groaning. There are some times when I have messages on my heart, and I honestly have to admit I don't know how to share them. I am not sure I have the ability to share with you and make it understandable some of the things that are on my heart this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I had an experience which I think was very much of the Lord. It was an overwhelming experience to me. I felt I was being touched by the Lord. I felt that, at least for a few moments, I was being brought to where the Lord was in regards to the feelings that He has over this world and over our nation. I do happen to believe that at times the Lord can lay upon a servant's heart what he feels concerning this world or concerning the hearts of individuals. And I think he does this so we can better pray for them, so we can better serve him. What I experienced was an overwhelming feeling of grief and of sorrow. My heart for a time ached for this world and for some of the things that I saw were taking place. For a time, I deeply groaned within, but at that time, little did I understand that what I was feeling might lead us to a message that would deal with this problem of grief and of sorrow and of groaning. I wonder, when we pause to think of God, you ever wonder what it is the Lord sees in one day? You ever wonder what the Lord feels for our world and for our nation? Can we possibly understand what our Father sees, what He feels, what He carries deep within His heart? I believe that our God is a God who grieves over the condition of our world, as well as over individuals, especially those who are believers. Those who are moving in wrong directions, those who have wrong and improper attitudes, He cares for them, He loves them, He groans for them. Think about what our Heavenly Father sees today. His children, as we have already mentioned, are being slaughtered all over the world for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are far removed from it. We hear bits and pieces about it. We might sometimes get a little information about it, but our Heavenly Father observes it. It is not easy for us who live in America to understand the slaughtering that's going on in our present world. Imagine how the Lord feels right now, our Heavenly Father, as He observes that His nation is being attacked and bombarded. The people that He loves and cherishes and cares for. Now, I understand that all things can be within the sanctioning of God, but God still grieves. I think when we pause and we think about all of these things, and believers, I think, are more sensitive about them than non-believers. But today, it seems that in our world, when I watch television, when I observe what's taking place, when I observe what's going on, Americans are so focused on themselves. They are so focused on what really are very insignificant things. We look at our personal comfort. We look at all of the luxuries that we have. Our emphasis is on health and strength and vitality and beauty and being comfortable in our own homes, and how easily we forget that there are some people that don't even have enough food or water to drink in other lands. Now, this is not meant to cause us to be on a guilt trip. It's not meant for us not to enjoy the things that God has given to us. It's meant to remind us that there is a reality that's going on in this world that's very intense, that's very serious, and thus must grieve the heart of God. I'm going to start in a passage where you may not expect me to start, which is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read something that I think wonderfully indicates the heart of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, there's all kinds of views about what took place here in Genesis 1 and 2. Some truly do believe that this was the actual creation of God. Others imply that in the Hebrew language, it sort of indicates that verse 1 shows that everything had wonderfully been created of God and set in place in heaven and earth. It was beautiful and it was perfection. But then between verse 1 and verse 2, something had happened that was cataclysmic, was devastating to the creation of God. Now, whether you and I accept that view or not must be between ourselves and the Lord. But if in fact that had happened or not happened, what we read here is a glimpse of the Spirit of God and how He moves. The earth was without form. It was without void. There was darkness. And God cared about it. And the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. This is an interesting passage. It reveals that God's Spirit began to move when God saw the darkness that was yet there. The passage implies in the Hebrew, it's like a mother chicken who flutters over the brood of her chicks. How she lovingly, with great care, places them under her wings and protects them from harm. And so I wanted to start here because I think it wonderfully shows our God, who loves us, who cares for us. Wherever there's darkness, wherever there's anguish, wherever there's pain, wherever there is distress with His children, He, like the mother chicken, brings His children under His wings to protect them and to care for them. Our God can be touched by our hearts. Our God can be burdened and full of sorrow over all that He sees that's taking place in the nations. In Isaiah chapter 53, we get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He cares and what He carried. In a passage that speaks of Christ many years before Christ would come, we read especially in verse 3 of Isaiah 53, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him, And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. And we're not going to intricately pull out all of the information here at this time in this message, but what I want you to see is that it implies that Jesus Christ would be a man of sorrows, that he would be a man who was acquainted with grief. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He cares about us. He bears our griefs. He is touched by our sorrows. And of course, he was wounded for our transgressions. What I'm trying to express to you this morning, and I don't know that I have words that are adequate in sharing them with you, is God and his Son, Christ, cares for this world, loves this world, is full of sorrow and grief and groaning for this world. Some of the verses I'll share with you, I'll not turn to, but in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17, that is where we read that the Lord was grieved over Israel for 40 years. When Israel was not doing well spiritually, when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, not necessarily listening to God nor being led of him, it is here in Hebrews 3:17 that expresses that God for 40 years grieved over them. Our God has a grieving heart. He is grieving over the condition of men's hearts. He's grieving over his children. He's grieving over those who are not his children because he loves and he cares. It's interesting that in Mark 3:5, it speaks of Christ who at this time was looking around, and he was looking around at a group of people in anger because he was grieved over the hardness of their hearts. You should read the context of the whole passage to see why it was he was grieved, but they didn't want him bringing healing into this man's life. And because of it, the Lord grieved over the hardness of their hearts. Now, if that was true when Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, how true do you think it is today? How hard are the hearts of men today? And so our Savior looks around and has an intense anger as he grieves over the hardness of their hearts. This is the hard old world that we live in today. And because of it, our Lord is grieving. We don't get away with hardness of hearts without the Lord seeing, without him having sorrow and anguish over our hearts. It's interesting to point out to you that in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 19, there we learn that Jeremiah himself had grief over the condition of God's people, Israel. Jeremiah is considered the weeping prophet because often Jeremiah was weeping over the condition of the children of Israel. And therefore, we see him crying often within this book. He says, "Woe is me for my hurt, for my wound is grievous." But I said, truly, this is a grief. I must bear it. So Jeremiah carried as a shepherd hurt and wound and a grief over the condition of Israel. True shepherds will often be touched with hurt and a wounding and a grieving over God's people. Jeremiah was concerned about the sins and the stubbornness of their hearts. He was a shepherd who grieved over the sheep, and anyone who is a true shepherd will do the same. But Jeremiah points out something very important. If you're a true shepherd, you can't escape this. Woe is me, for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But Jeremiah himself said, I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. He's a shepherd. Bearing the grief of these children was what this shepherd was supposed to do. God gave it to him. It was real. He said, this is a grief, and I must bear it. I think we need shepherds today who will grieve over the wounds, over the condition of our nation. We must be in prayer for the condition of our leaders as well as the condition of those who follow them. Now, I'll not turn here either, but this is interesting. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, we get a glimpse of Daniel. And we find that Daniel also grieved over this unbelievable, glorious, and panoramic view of what was coming to this earth. He says in chapter 7, verse 15, I, Daniel, I was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. Daniel had been given great, overwhelming light from God himself, and Daniel didn't even know how to handle it. It was so overwhelming that it grieved him in his spirit. He was overwhelmed by it. He could not comprehend it because at that time he was being given a vision that sort of panoramically showed all that would come until Christ returned again. And guess what? He grieved in his spirit. So ministry and having light and seeing what's going on spiritually can be a thing of grieving that overwhelms us and that touches our lives. The grief that we sometimes carry in regard to spiritual things is a very difficult thing to carry. It can be so heavy, and scripturally it can be referred to as a groaning. It's a deep heaviness that one carries in their heart and can come out. It is a severe pain. You and I can groan over many things that come into our lives. We have financial pains, we have physical pains, we have stress, we have pain and burdens over those that we love and care for. There are issues that come into our lives that create great pain. Spiritually, when you're looking at sorrow and grieving, it can be associated with groaning. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 32. This is a time when we see that our Savior was overwhelmed, and in verse 32, we read that Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." The Savior loved Lazarus. Lazarus has died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Now, I am pulling this out to show that our Savior could be touched by the pain of other people, and that there is such a thing as a sorrow being so great that literally comes out a groaning. In verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. He groans because of the loss of someone that he loved. He groans because of the pain and anguish of those around him. I think that as time passes, there's going to be a lot of groaning in this world. I never understood much about groaning, what it meant, why one might groan or not groan, until one day I was informed that my dad had passed away. It was unexpected. It caught us all off guard. And the thing that I remember most was this unbelievable anguish and groaning that came deep out of my spirit. So I can understand what the Lord felt here. This groaning sorrow that comes from deep within a person is real. And in this day and age, as time passes, as we touch God's Spirit and he touches ours, we're going to see a whole lot of groaning. Now, I'm just about done, but I would like, since this probably will be two lessons, I just want to at least point out Romans 8:22 to you. We don't live in this world. We don't live in these bodies without there being a groaning. In verse 22 of Romans 8, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." To be in this world, to be in these bodies, is to be in a situation where we groan. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. All of creation has been affected by the fall of man. There's a tremendous groaning that takes place, that is real, that is overwhelming. But we're only going to groan until that great day comes when we will be released from these bodies and when we will rest in all that our Heavenly Father is. So there is a groaning. It's a sorrow. It's a heaviness. It's a pain. I don't know that I can adequately share with you everything that I feel that Almighty God must be going through in this world. But when I look out on it, when I listen to the news, and anymore I try not to listen to it, and I see lives going out into eternity day after day, when I see so much destruction, so much suffering and so much pain, so much hunger, it causes me to groan, and I'm sure it causes you to groan. May we be touched in such a way that we'll pray for those who are in so much pain. Shall we pray? Father, it is a groaning world, but you came to deliver us from all the sorrow, all the pain, and all the grief. Help us, I pray this morning, on the one hand, to see the groaning, the pain, and the grieving, but on the other hand, to pray that you, by your Spirit, will touch people and bring them into your kingdom where they might find rest and peace and joy. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.